It's Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio, your NPR news station. Good morning. I'm Rebecca Kruth, and joining us now is Michigan Radio senior news analyst Jack Lessenberry with a look at some of the region's top news stories of the week. There were a couple more chapters in the saga to ban straight ticket voting in Michigan this week. A federal appeals court denied State Attorney General Bill Schuette's request for a review of decisions that blocked the state's ban on straight ticket voting. Then Schuette filed an emergency motion with the U.S. Supreme Court. Jack, do you think Michigan voters will still have the straight ticket option this election day?
Well, almost certainly. The odds of them intervening are very low, lower now that Justice Scalia is not on the court anymore, and because there's been no dissension at the lower federal court level, also the odds of them doing anything before the ballots have to be printed next week is almost non-existent, so it looks like we will have the straight ticket option.
The State School Reform Office this week released its annual list ranking the lowest performing 5% of Michigan schools. The good news is that 7 schools improved enough to get off the list, but 124 remain, including quite a few in Detroit. What do these rankings mean as we head into the new school year?
They don't mean a whole lot other than that we need a lot of improvement. Some people say, with some justice, that we keep changing the test, and so it's hard to have exact measurements. But the School Reform Office, which the governor moved from the control of the State Board of Education to the Department of Management and Budget so that he and Republicans could have control over it last year, is giving a very good imitation of the ultimate gang that couldn't shoot straight. A few weeks ago, they said they might close up to 100 schools, and then they said they were going to close fewer, and now they're not going to close any. And in Detroit, they maintain this is an entirely new district, and none of the previous figures count after 3 years of data. So as I understand it now, they won't close any Detroit schools, no matter how bad they are, charters or public schools, for at least 3 more years. So this looks grim but fairly meaningless when it comes to taking any concrete action.
Speaking of getting back to the grind, summer break is also just about over for state lawmakers. They head back to Lansing next week. Jack, what are some of the issues you'll be watching as the next legislative session gets underway?
I'm going to be curious as if they do anything at all, and my prediction is not much. There's an election going on. Most of them are either running for re-election or running for other jobs. They don't want to rock the boat, if not for themselves, for other members of their party. So it'll be very interesting to see what key issues they push over into the lame duck session, which is when they'll come back after the election in November, before a third of them are so out of office in January. And at that time, they're sometimes willing to make more difficult decisions, especially because some of the people voting will never have to come back and face the voters.
Jack, Michigan has seen a lot of action from major party candidates. Donald Trump is in Detroit again today. Bill Clinton will be here Monday to campaign for Hillary Clinton. But what about third-party candidates? Jill Stein is here this weekend, and Gary Johnson is coming in a couple of weeks. What kind of foothold do they have in the state, and what does that mean for big party candidates?
Third-party candidates remind me of the old sort of sexist jokes about the farm boy who goes and dates exciting big city girls before coming back and marrying the girl next door. Voters love to flirt with third-party candidates in September, but usually what happens by Election Day is they conclude that one of the two major party candidates is the lesser of two evils, or they vote against one they dislike more than the other and reluctantly decide they don't want to throw their vote away. This year there could be some difference. I don't look for Jill Stein to do anything more than the usual 300,000-400,000 votes nationally Green Party candidates get. But Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate, could conceivably do much better because of dissatisfaction with Trump. Last election cycle, Libertarians got more than 1 million votes for the first time, and what Johnson would really like to do is get to 15% in the national polls, which means they'd have to include him in the presidential debates. That doesn't look likely, but I would not at all be surprised if Johnson makes a bigger difference than before, and most of his votes probably will come from Republicans.
Jack, thanks so much for your thoughts, and enjoy the holiday weekend.
Happy Labor Day, Rebecca, and happy Labor Day, everyone.
Jack Lessenberry is Michigan Radio's senior news analyst. He joins us Saturday mornings to review the week's regional stories.